Psalm 149. This is God's word. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. Psalm 149 has a contagious nature to it. It seems to get caught up in the emotions and the excitement of what the Lord has done. It calls us to praise the Lord, to sing a new song. And that singing comes from a heart that has been set free by God. It commands us to sing. And there's something very natural about singing that moves our emotions. And this psalm has several different emotions that are brought forth. In this psalm, there is especially the rejoicing that we have for redemption. We sing because God has saved us from our sins. You can see this especially in verse 4 when it says that the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. That's the main idea of this psalm, is that we sing because we are happy. We're singing because God has redeemed us in Christ. It's a psalm that points forward to Jesus, and we can sing it with New Testament eyes, recognizing that Jesus has accomplished salvation for us. In this explanation, though, I want to pay special attention to two particular points. I want to explain the use of instruments and the use of imprecatory psalms. This is just a very brief introduction to these subjects, but it brings those two items before us. So, by way of explanation, you notice that this psalm talks about praising God with the timbrel and with dancing. And the question comes is, as you notice, we don't use any musical instruments in our worship today. Shouldn't we do that because this psalm commands us to use musical instruments? Well, the short answer is yes, God has indeed commanded those instruments to be used, but he commanded them to be used in the Old Testament circumstances. Throughout the Old Testament, there was a prefiguring of what Jesus would do on the cross. So there was a sacrifice of a lamb for sins. There were priests that stood and mediated worship. There was an altar of incense. There was a laver of water. There was a holy of holies that was separated by a veil, a curtain. And only one man, once a year, could enter that behind that curtain. The high priest, once a year, could go behind that curtain. In the Sunday school class that I taught today, we were talking about the tabernacle. And I asked the children to imagine, what if we oriented our room to face the stage this way? And instead of my preaching, there would be a veil in front of the church. And you, as the people of God, would actually be left outside the doors. You would not come in the doors, but there would be a sacrifice at those doors. And then within the holy place, there would be worship. And once a year, the high priest would go behind the veil to worship before the Lord in the Holy of Holies. But when Jesus died on the cross, and Rachel got this so well this morning, the veil was torn in two. And Jesus uttered those incredible words, "It is finished. It is finished." The sacrifice for sin was made for us. And Jesus takes us behind the veil. And all of those parts of the Old Testament worship, the sacrifices of the animals, the priestly mediation, the incense, the instruments, all of those things bound up in the sacrificial system find their fulfillment in Jesus. And now we come without the mediation of earthly things, but only the mediation of Christ. And we worship behind the veil. That's a simple explanation for the use of musical instruments that lead us to see the joy of our salvation in Christ. The second thing I want to explain is God's vengeance. You may recognize that this psalm talks about the Lord bringing His judgment on the wicked. We call these types of psalms imprecatory psalms. This and other psalms like it often make people uncomfortable, because this psalm talks about God taking vengeance on His enemies. It says that the people of God praise the Lord with praises on our lips and a sharp sword in our hands. And that sword is used to take vengeance on His enemies. And that sword is not figurative. God does pour out His wrath on evildoers. He punishes rebellious people, as the psalm says. He binds their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters, and He executes judgment on His enemies. These types of words sometimes make us squeamish. But the best explanation of this I ever heard was by Dr. Robert Godfrey, who described reading through the imprecatory psalms with his family. He was worried what his children would think about this, about the bloodshed of the wicked. And his son answered very simply, "Isn't that what God's enemies deserve? Isn't that what God's enemies deserve?" And that's the point, isn't it? That's what sin deserves. It deserves the wrath of God in this life and in the life to come. It's represented in the sacrifice of the animals. It is a reason that we can praise God in these ways. It's right for God to punish His enemies. And that brings us back to why we are joyful. It brings us back to why we can sing the psalm with joy. Because God has done that for you in Christ. The sacrifice that you deserve, Jesus took. And so we, in Christ, can say, "Praise the Lord." We sing because we're happy. We can sing because Jesus has satisfied the wrath of God. Let's do that together. We'll sing Psalm 149, and throughout this month we'll use Selection A as our Psalm of the Month. We'll praise the Lord for the sacrifice that has been made for us. Psalm 149, Selection A, let's stand to praise God. Mm-hmm.